Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Ohio State fans, and welcome to another episode of the Buck Nuts Happy Hour. I'm Patrick Murphy with Buck Nuts and 24/7 Sports here with you to talk the latest of going on with the Buckeyes. First of all, sipping on a White Claw today. First of all, it was in my fridge, which makes it easy and accessible. Second of all, I've got my week has been off because I was out of town over the weekend. So my days have all been off one day, and I've got a workout later that I don't need to mess up by drinking anything too crazy here. So figured this will satisfy the happy hour for now, and we'll get back to the beer next week. We are going to talk about Ohio State new athletic director Ross Bjork, who was officially announced on Tuesday. He then had his first press conference along with President Ted Carter and current athletic director Gene Smith on Wednesday. We were there for that. I know that there was some conversation about that already on the Buck Nuts Morning 5 on Thursday morning. We're going to go a little bit deeper as we were the three guys there, and that's because I'm going to be joined by Steve Hellwagon and Dave Biddle. He will hop on here shortly. Steve, what's going on, man?
Not much, Pat. I'm drinking a clear liquid known as water. That's what I'm drinking today. Although I had beer that I should have brought down just to sip on a beer while we were doing this. So my bad for not fitting the motif.
You're more responsible than I am. I also have water sitting here if I need it. Dave, what's going on? You've made it.
Yeah, I'm with Steve. I'm just doing the water for now, but there could be some adult libations later. We shall see.
It'd be an upgrade.
Yeah, right. Like I said, we're going to talk about the new athletic director. We'll also talk some Buckeyes, kind of some offseason stuff after that. We'll just kind of roll through some stuff here. But I want to get your guys' initial impressions of new athletic director Ross Bjork sitting in that press conference yesterday at the Covelli Center. Dave, I'll start with you. Just listening to the guy talk. We'll get into the specifics of what he said, but what'd you think of the man who will be leading this athletic department here starting July 1st?
Yeah, I was very impressed with him. He definitely knows how to win over a room. And I liked his talking points a lot. I really did. You can tell that he's a guy that fully embraces NIL. I think Ohio State needed that. For all the good things Gene Smith did, it wasn't that he was anti-NIL. He just didn't maybe embrace it as much as I think he probably should have. And it's a stark contrast with Bjork. I mean, just look at what he did at Texas A&M. I mean, no one embraced it better than Texas A&M. He just needed a better coach. And I don't know, we'll get to that later, the whole Jimbo Fisher thing. And maybe people Don't know the whole story there, but overall, very impressed with him. He understands football is what drives all of this. He had very nice things to say about Ryan Day. Ross Bjork, I think Buckeye fans, when you look back on this 10 years from now, I think Buckeye fans are going to say it was a good hire.
Steve, what about you? Initial impressions of Ross Bjork?
Well, I think you got to be very impressed with him. Obviously, they had a committee of people who put together the list of finalists that they handed off to Ted Carter, the new president. And in his 17 days on the job, Ted Carter sifted through that, either met in person or Zoom calls, I presume, or whatever, did some high-speed vetting of those, rigorous vetting of those remaining candidates, and decided that Ross Bjork was the person that he wanted to lead Ohio State athletics into the future, 51 years old. As Ted Carter said, he's got a long runway. It means he could be the athletic director at Ohio State for a long time. They've only had nine of them in the entire tenure of Ohio State athletics. And obviously, they usually stay a while. It was 19 years for Gene Smith. Remains to be seen whether or not Ross Bjork will still be doing this when he's pushing 70. But, you know, he's getting in at a time of great change in college athletics, obviously, with the Big Ten going to 18 teams in the conference and the change to the 12-team college football playoff, and potentially the changes in the NCAA governance structure and whether the Power Four will pull off on their own and create their own overarching governance system, either including the NCAA or doing their own thing one way or the other. But at any rate, I'm interested to see where Ross Bjork takes this thing in the years to come. There are some facilities issues that need to be dealt with, obviously, but the biggest thing is raising money for NIL to pay the players. That's where things are headed until they get to the point where there's enough revenue coming in that they can maintain the 36 sports and also pay the people who are putting on the show, which are the football and to some degree the basketball players.
Yeah, and in case you weren't familiar with how this situation is going to work, Gene Smith will continue to be the athletic director for the remainder of his contract, which runs through June 31st. Bjork will begin on May 1st as a senior advisor to Gene Smith, and then will step in as the full-time athletic director on July 1st. And if you want more details on that, I wrote about his contract yesterday with Ohio State on Bucknuts. You can read that there. I echo what you guys said. I was impressed. I came in not knowing much about Bjork except what I was able to read online. Obviously, there were some questions about some of the things that have happened in programs that he has dealt with in the past. I thought he answered those decently. I think there's probably still some more you could get out of that. But just in terms of his demeanor on the podium, the way he kind of commanded the room after the fact, he stood around and shook hands with people. You know, I went up and introduced myself. He looked me in the eye, you know, said my name a couple times, asked which 24/7 sports site I was with, all that stuff. So, you know, I think he genuinely wants to get to know the people that he's going to be dealing with. And, you know, he said it, he's going to be open and accessible. We'll see how much that plays out once he actually gets to know us all a little bit, but certainly like what I saw there. Steve, you brought up President Carter. This was the first time we've gotten to talk to him. As you mentioned, only 17 days on the job. My initial impressions were he's a football guy, and maybe sometimes the president of Ohio State isn't so much that. What did you make of hearing President Carter talk?
Yeah, very impressed with President Carter. First time that we've had an audience with him. And I think he's a guy that's going to take Ohio State forward in many regards going forward, and is going to command respect, obviously, with his military background. He's got an idea of how to treat people with the proper courtesy and respect, and understands that, as he said, the biggest thing that you can do, it's not necessarily barking orders, but it's getting people to buy into the plan. You know, this is the overarching plan for Ohio State going into the rest of the 2020s and into the 2030s. And he's the guy that's going to shape that. And again, it's a pivotal time in higher education as well, with all the different alternatives and different things that you can do to get degrees and different things like that. Are brick and mortar schools where it's going to be 15, 30 years from now? I don't know. And do you even need a degree in this new economy that we're kind of going into? So a lot going on, obviously, both with higher education and college athletics. But I like the direction that Ohio State seems poised to be headed here with these two guys kind of leading that charge. And what Ted Carter said was that he wanted a guy that was committed to maintain the broad-based athletic approach, 36 sports, which, to be very honest with you, I sat down last night and enjoyed one of those 36 sports. There's an enjoyable winter sport at Ohio State, and it's called women's basketball. And they played on Peacock last night, and they beat Maryland, handed Maryland their first loss at home in almost 2 years. And they're going to play Iowa at home on Sunday with Caitlin Clark. The circus is coming to town on Sunday noon, and that game is on NBC. NBC, as a new TV partner, actually has some women's basketball live television rights. They don't have any men's basketball television rights beyond Peacock streaming. But on Sunday, it'll be Iowa against Ohio State. So that was one thing Ted Carter said. He wanted a guy that would maintain the 36 sports and a guy that would grab him by the hand and lead him into this new frontier of college athletics with potential new governance structure, enhanced playoff, larger playoff, new TV money revenue. How do we apply that money appropriately that they're going to get? $250 million budget for Ohio State Athletics. It's like a small company. If you looked at all the companies across Central Ohio, just Ohio State Athletics would be high on the list. So, you know, it's crazy to think about it in those terms. And they're going to pay Ross Bjork $2 million a year to run this $250 million a year enterprise. And it's so important to everybody in Central Ohio, all over the state of Ohio, and really Buckeye Nation worldwide. So I think that they're well positioned here. And that was kind of my feeling, is that Carter is going to be the guy. You know, they've had some good leaders come and go. What Ohio State desperately is craving now is stability. You went through Holbrook, Drake, and Johnson, boom, 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 you know, and now it's kind of like you need somebody to maintain some stability here. So we'll see if he can stay for the long haul.
Dave.
Oh, I forgot Holbrook, Gee, Drake, Johnson, sorry.
Gee's second term.
2.0.
Yeah.
Dave, Steve mentioned the money there, $2 million plus bonuses and whatnot. Were you surprised it was that big of a number? I believe Gene Smith, from quick Googling here, he signed a four-year extension back in 2021. It paid him just over $2 million. Are you surprised that a guy who is just coming to Ohio State is getting $2 million off the top?
That's about what I expected. I mean, you look at – I remember covering the Gene Smith introductory press conference in 2005. Was that the Fawcett Center, Steve? It definitely wasn't at the WAC.
Yeah, and I said this with Dan Rubin on the Bucknuts Morning 5. I was there when he was introduced at the Schottenstein Center in a game in like March of 05, as Andy Geiger was leaving. They brought out Gene, and the picture of him, like, you know, waving to the crowd was on the cover of Bucknuts, the magazine, with Ted Ginn Jr. was like the big picture. And Gene Smith was the small picture, two Cleveland guys, pretty appropriate there. But yeah, you and I were there probably 19 years ago when they trotted Gene out for the first time.
So my point is, at the time, like, so that was 19 years ago. So, like, I remember Gene was making it probably wasn't his base salary, but when you added everything together, it was right around $1 million.
Yes.
When he was hired. And people were like, what? And they gave his wife a job where she was making well into six figures. So it was like, if you're going to pull a sitting AD from Texas A&M,
got to pay him.
$2 million sounded about right to me. That sounded about right, especially – knowing Gene came in making $1 million, but that was 19 years ago. It felt about right to me, Patrick. I'm sure some people are like, what, $2 million? It's just crazy. I mean, think about it, though. Ryan Day is going to be making about $10 million. You know, I mean, it's just Jim Knowles makes $1.9 million. So Jim Knowles makes as much as the AD does pretty much. So it did not surprise me just based on how crazy the money is in college sports. And even when Gene was hired 19 years ago, he was making $1 million.
Yeah, we went into the wrong profession, I think, is what what that was.
Yeah, just look this up. The cost of gas in 2005 was $2.34, and today it's $3.20 is what I paid a little bit earlier. So
it
just
was about down to $2.34 like a couple weeks ago.
I know it went down. Yeah. Then we had that cold snap, and it was like you need all that, you know, all that heating oil or whatever, and the demand went up. But
Dave, you touched on it in your initial comments. NIL, it's taking over college sports. You can't talk about recruiting or retention or transfer portal without talking about NIL money. And Ohio State has started to get its act in gear. Obviously, the players that have come back, they've landed players out of the transfer portal. They ended the recruiting cycle well with some guys where NIL was certainly a factor. What do you think will be the impact of Ross Bjork? Because as you mentioned, Texas A&M, there was a lot of that money thrown around, or at least supposed to be thrown around down there. How do you think that will impact Ohio State in the NIL sphere?
I certainly think he's going to enhance what's going on right now. And they're doing overall, I think the two main collectives are doing a good job. Just, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. There's no way we would have seen this flood. I've never seen anything like it at Ohio State. Usually it's like guys leave and you're like, really? He left and he left? I understand him leaving, but he left this year. And I'm like, he's definitely going to leave. He's going to leave. Like Denzel Burke's going to leave. Tui Moloau will leave. All those guys came back. And if not for NIL, they wouldn't have. If not for NIL, they would not have, in my opinion. So Ohio State's not like they're like behind the eight ball here, but they're not maybe where they want to be. So I think he's going to get them to where they want to be. Just, again, look at what he did at Texas A&M helping raise money. I think he's going to try and get – the collectives don't have to be best friends with each other, but everybody at Ohio State's got to be pulling the same direction. Sure. Ohio State is extremely powerful when everybody's pulling the same direction. So I think he's going to get everybody on the same page, and he's going to do a great job of fundraising, and he knows the importance of NIL. And if you're going to be a big boy in college football right now, you have to be at the forefront of NIL, and I think he's going to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see it getting as far as what Texas A&M was doing in terms of paying kids the amount of money that was reported straight out of high school. But right. I do think, like you said, it will continue to evolve into what it should be in the eyes of, you know, Ryan Day has talked about it. They don't want to pay kids exorbitant amounts of money before they even do anything. Now, that has happened. Recent recruiting classes have shown that they will pay some kids if they think they are worth it. But, you know, most of that money from NIL this year went to keeping Jack Sawyer, Denzel Burke, those guys you just mentioned. And, you know, the more you build the pot, the more money you have to spend, right? And so you can use it however. But I don't know if it will go the way of Texas A&M, but I do think it is moving in a right direction. I liked what they'd heard, what I heard yesterday from both Ted Carter and Bjork on that. Another thing they talked about, and Steve, I'm really interested in your opinion on this, both of you, frankly, the changes that both guys see coming in the NCAA. And they talked about, you know, NIL and everything moving in-house. They talked about potentially, as you mentioned earlier, Steve, certain programs breaking off into their own divisions. I believe it was Bjork who said teams or programs that make more than $100 million could be their own, you know, college football, NFL, light, whatever you want to call it. And Bjork even said he could see significant change coming in 3 to 5 years. A, Steve, do you buy into those things? And B, do you think this positions Ohio State better to be ready for what's coming in the future?
Definitely. There's going to be change. And whether colleges agree to it or are going to be dragged along into it, they have put themselves in the position they are today because they've kicked the can down the line. And I thought about piping up and really making a mess of the press conference yesterday, just saying, you guys have shined on the athletes for, you know, the entire time when I was in college in 1987, they were talking about paying the players. And, you know, every once in a while, you'll have that quarterback from Northwestern was one of them. I forget.
Chris Carter took that too seriously, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Chris Carter, he got paid. So did Joey Galloway.
In 1987, right. Got suspended. Yeah. Yeah.
There was a Northwestern quarterback, you know, 10 years ago who got involved in the unionization, and they shined him on for a couple months. And then lo and behold, he graduates and leaves and all the talk dissipates. These athletic administrators, presidents, athletic directors, commissioners have known the formula for 35, 40, 50 years is just humor them while they're on campus and walk them out the door and hand them their degree and say, we're working on it, and then stop talking about it. Well, that day is well past. The NCAA and the schools are 0 for 100 in the courts trying to put these kids down on the plantation and keep them down. It ain't happening no more. So, you know, I think that in a sense, that day is coming where there's going to be complete revenue sharing with the athletes. And you heard the angst from them talking about, you know, how do we find what's the right thing? Because one year we make X money and the next year we make 1.5X money. And what's their share and what do they want? And, you know, what can we give them? And on and on and on. And meanwhile, your rowing team has, you know, 5 nutritionists. You know, it's like, give me a freaking break. You know, I tell this all the time. When I started and I went to college in the 80s, you could pick up an Ohio State program and on 2 pages, maybe not even 2 pages, they had the picture of everybody who worked in the athletic department. Now, if you tried to do that, you'd need a 100-page book and photos on every page because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of staff people working at these schools in athletics. And what do these people do? And it's like, you know, I get it. You want 36 sports, but, you know, do you really need – you know, 4 equipment people for the rowing team. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's what. So, you know, they're like, well, I hear this from the Olympic sports all the time. Gene came in and said, we got to cut our budget by 8%. I'm like, GD, you're lucky you even have a budget and a job. You wouldn't have one if it wasn't for them kids down at Ohio Stadium risking their lives for you every Saturday afternoon in the fall. You know, geez, you know, sorry, you know, I don't know. I'm very disillusioned by college athletics. It's just, you know, they've taken all the fun out of it. And it's unfortunate. If they had just gotten out in front of some of these things 5 or 10 years ago, like they should have. And Krzyzewski said this on one of the Sirius shows 5 years ago, what we need is a czar. We need a czar of college athletics, a Goodell, for lack of a better term, not that Goodell's good or bad or indifferent, but just somebody that leads the charge and said, this is what we need to do. This is what's good. This is what's legal. This, well, we can't really restrict that because it's illegal. And they got a lot of problems right now with college athletics.
Dave, what's your vision and how do you think Ohio State is positioned with these new leaders at the top of the program here?
Yeah, I mean, are you including President Carter?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to be part of it.
I am so impressed with him. I just, you know, I love that he has a military background. It's just his resume just jumps off the page, and he's so impressive, so damn impressive. They did a great job. As Steve articulated, I don't need to echo everything Steve said. Johnson. Who's the one that they just got rid of? Was it Johnson?
Johnson.
Yeah, I thought she was a good hire. Obviously, something happened. You know, I think she butted heads with maybe the wrong people in the board of trustees. She wasn't going to
big money Dilbert.
Anybody. Yeah, so I actually think she was a good hire, but Holbrook was a disaster and Drake was a disaster. So I think they nailed it with Carter. Again, I think they nailed it with Bjork. And the biggest thing with NIL that I see is retaining the team like they did with this year. Now, as you said, Patrick, there's going to be recruits and transfers as well. That's the biggest thing, I think, for NIL. I think the idea of paying recruits, that might sound good, but, like, that's not nearly as good as getting JT Tumoloel back for another year and Emeka Egbuka and Denzel Burke and all these guys they have coming back, Travion Henderson, on and on and on and on. So They did a good job with that this year. I think that's going to be even enhanced. I think they're going to do a better job in the transfer portal. They're just going to have more money to play with, in my opinion. I think that's why Bjork got this job. And frankly, I've heard a lot of people say Pat Chun should have got the job. My friends, he's a nice guy, but I think they got the right guy with Bjork. Pat Chun, I think this would have been a little too big for him, especially the NIL fundraising part of it. It's not like he would have been a disaster, but they got their man. And President Carter said, Admiral Carter, he said, it wasn't a close call. He said, we had some good candidates. He's like, but it wasn't a close call. Like, Bjork won. He didn't say by a landslide, but he basically intimated that. So, yeah, man. And he really backed Ryan Day big time. Big time. Did he back Chris Holtman? A little bit more lukewarm than, but he really, really backed Ryan Day. So I think Ohio State's in very good hands here.
Yeah, we'll touch on the Chris Holtman stuff if we have enough time here. Otherwise, we can cover that on a different show. But I also thought, because Ross Bjork spent about 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, talking about his Ohio ties, even like drawing a map essentially for us from his home in Kansas all the way up to where his wife's side of the family is from, or his mom's side of the family, excuse me, is from Linda. In Ohio. How I asked President Carter how much having someone with at least Ohio ties and some understanding of Ohio State, because he has been around it with his family, mattered. And President Carter said, I don't have Ohio State ties and they picked me, but he certainly thinks it's a plus. Dave, what do you make of a guy who has no connection to Ohio State or Ohio other than having some family members? He's visited Ohio. Does that matter? Does it not?
I think President Carter said, I think it's a bonus. That obviously would not have been the deciding factor. If there was a tie, maybe that would have been a tiebreaker. It is a bonus, though. And it's not like some my third cousin lived in Columbus for a minute. It's like his mom is a Buckeye fan. Like, as you said, like, they're big Buckeye fans, and mom grew up in Ohio. I mean, he had like everybody from his family there, Bjork. I mean, it was crazy. They had that. He had it looked like a family reunion there. So yeah, I like that. I like that his mom and, has deep Buckeye roots. And when they would go to family parties at his mom's farm, mom and dad's farm, that he would, everybody would be wearing Buckeye gear. Now, was he playing it up a little bit that he, has always been like kind of rooting for the Buckeyes? Probably playing it up a little bit, but I do like the fact that he's got some family ties to the state of Ohio.
Steve, he at one point had to ask, is it the team up north or the school up north? He also asked if there were 3 or 4 message boards on this beat, and somebody said, try 30 or 40. How do you think he will handle the growth in size that he's jumping from Texas A&M, which is certainly a big program and has a large covering, to this? He said the right things about Michigan. How do you think he will handle kind of the fan base? And he did say, I should point out, that he's not going to give in to mob mentality, but that, they are aware of those things. So how do you think he handles kind of that jump up to what Ohio State athletics is?
I think that he's going to like that there's at least a little bit more perspective among Ohio State fans than there probably is among the crazy people who follow Texas A&M. It's almost like a cult down there, it felt like. I mean, when they're singing a song when they're introducing the new coach, Mike Elko from Duke, and I'm like, what's going through Mike Elko's mind standing there having to sing this song with these people? It's like, good Lord, what is this? But I think he's going to like that it's a little bit more of an educated fan base. I think, that goes without saying. My wife is kind of tuned in with what's going on in Central Ohio. She's on a Chamber of Commerce here in Licking County. And believe it or not, this Intel development that is coming to the New Albany area is going to spur growth like nothing that anybody has ever seen in our lifetimes in the state of Ohio, to the point that she said that they were told that within 15 to 20 years, the size of the Columbus market will rival Atlanta, Georgia. Just stop and comprehend that. So Ohio State is positioned at the forefront of all this growth, with their medical center and all their research and everything they're going to do, really even in support of what's coming. And I think that that's going to bleed over into athletics as well. You know, just the enormity of what's coming at us. You know, we're like prisoners of inertia right now in Central Ohio. We're only in the first inning of this thing. They say that the airport is going to need to be completely overhauled and, you know, tons more gates added. There's going to be international flights going to the Orient nonstop and just on and on and on. All these things that we can't even foresee are coming to Central Ohio and Ohio State. And I think that, you know, when you look at it, Ohio State Athletics is going to be part of this and is going to prosper, I think, because of all this. So I think that's something to really get excited about, I guess, for the future. That just this is not an area that's a bleak area. This is an area that's on the cutting edge. I think he and his family coming from College Station, Texas, which, you know, is probably a lot like West Lafayette or Champaign or, you know, something like that. Going to Columbus, Ohio, a vibrant city with so much to offer and so much more that's coming that we can't even think about. You know, I think, you know, the way that they describe it, from Columbus, Ohio, you're going to be able to get anywhere in the country on a direct flight, you know, anytime you want, basically, because that's the connectivity that's going to have to come to Columbus, Ohio as a result of all this. So the future is just, you know, just really bright as everything I'm hearing and reading. And I'm glad, you know, my twilight years, I'll get to experience some of this. I just don't want to sit in traffic. I don't want Atlanta traffic. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, that'll be nice when we have to, you know, go cover teams out west on a regular basis. Direct flights.
Everywhere. Flights. Seattle. Yeah. Eugene, I don't know. But
yeah, maybe not LA. Eugene. But last thing I want to talk about with Bjork, and then I want to move on. Obviously, as I mentioned, there have been some things that have followed him from Ole Miss, the scandal with Hugh Freeze, Texas A&M, the Jimbo Fisher contract that he is credited with giving to Jimbo Fisher, with the buyout that cost Texas A&M more than $70 million. Dave, he was asked about these two things directly by Bill Rabinowitz. What did you make of his response? Because it kind of seemed like he said, the blame's on me as the athletic director, but here are all these other people that were involved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know as much about the Ole Miss situation. You know, I think that was, you can say, look at Hugh Freeze. He did good even after that. He went to Liberty. Now he's at Auburn. So, you know, and, you know, you can't blame Bjork for the personal issues that that Hugh Freeze had. So I don't know about Ole Miss, but that obviously ended bad for Ole Miss with the Hugh Freeze hiring. Now, I will say this about Texas A&M. For those who don't know, now, as we all know, boosters are extremely powerful regardless of what big-time football program we're talking about. Boosters are very important at Ohio State, obviously. Michigan, name it, Penn State. Texas A&M takes it to a different level, my friends. Most of you probably know that. The boosters control everything. I'm going to read you guys. The Athletic did a great story leading into the 2023 football season about the six reasons why it's tough to win at A&M. This is when Jimbo still had a job, obviously, because it's leading into the 2023 season. So you guys will remember a similar situation before Jimbo with Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin was hired, and then an AD gave him a ridiculous contract extension, one they had to eat. Wasn't as big as Jimbo's, but they gave him this ridiculous contract extension. They ended up having to eat a bunch of money. And here's a quote from the athletic director at the time at Texas A&M. A guy named Eric Hyman was A&M's athletic director at the time. He said, quote, he had nothing to do with the contract extension given to Coach Kevin Sumlin at the end of 2013. Quote, the contract was given to me, and it was, quote, this is what we're going to do, end quote. I had no say over it. So I've been, and this is not new to me because I've heard the boosters control everything at A&M. So am I making an excuse for Ross Bjork? You're damn right I am. And he kind of alluded to this. He kind of said, you know, the buck stops with me, but there's maybe more to the story. But he wasn't going to get into all the specifics. Here's what happened with the Jimbo Fisher extension. And keep in mind, Bjork did not hire Fisher. Bjork got there. LSU was going after Fisher. They just were coming off a 9-1 season in that COVID year of 2020. And the boosters told Bjork, this is what we're doing, period. So I give him a pass for the Jimbo Fisher, 100%, because I know for a fact that the boosters were 100% behind that. Not 99%, 100% the boosters were behind that.
Yeah, and President Carter made the point when he was asked about it that he doesn't envision any sort of scenario like that happening. Not that Bjork won't have to fire coaches at some point, because he will, assuming he lasts for a while, but that the buyouts won't be as exorbitant as that one was with Jimbo Fisher. Okay, any last things that we didn't hit on that you guys want to bring up about the press conference before we move on?
No, I think that pretty much covered it. I think that these guys are leading Ohio State into the future, and I think that's a good thing. And Ryan Day was sitting right there in the crowd, and Chris Holtman was off to the side, and presume he had to leave to go to practice, and he had to duck out. But, yeah, everybody seems to be on board. So, it was a good day, I thought, for Ohio State.
All right, well, you brought up Ryan Day, Steve, so we'll start with him. He was, I don't want to say mobbed by a group of reporters, but definitely, you know, they rushed to talk to Ryan Day, as often happens when Ryan Day is standing around somewhere. He was asked a lot of questions about Bjork, but one of the things, and the video you posted yesterday, Steve, is on Bucknuts. One of the things he was asked about was a new offensive coordinator. I know we've speculated and whatnot on this, but I want to ask Dave, I'll ask you first. How important is this hire for Ohio State? Assuming this does happen and they do bring in someone to call plays and kind of run the offense, how important is it for this program to get this one right?
I think it's incredibly important because I think we can all agree that what was missed this year was the Kevin Wilson voice of reason. When things go sideways, this is what we need to pivot and do. Particularly in the Missouri game, they just crawled into the fetal position when things weren't going right, and it was ridiculous. So, you go 11-2 and everybody wants to change the world. It's like, well, you know, there. And how bad was the offensive line and how inconsistent was the quarterback? That all kind of fed into this. I don't know what's going through Ryan Day's mind. He's the only one who knows. But I talked with Dan Rubin about this today on the Bucknuts Morning 5 and also in an interview I did with Buckeye Sports Bulletin about Ryan Day's first 5 years. And it's like, I think that he has spread himself a little bit too thin. And what he could really use is a quarterback guru who helps with the offensive coordinator job. And I can't imagine they're going to demote Brian Hartline. He's still going to be the coordinator, but hire somebody for a big salary, call him the co-coordinator, and let's get to work. You know, let's get this thing figured out, and let's get back to where, you know, we're punishing the bad teams with 50 and 60 points, and we're scoring 30 and 40 points against the good teams. I mean, that was just not the case this past year. So, that's kind of my thought on it, is get it fixed, get it figured out, get somebody he trusts, get somebody who's competent, get somebody who's got experience, but get it done, you know, get it figured out and get it done. And there was a lot of talk about Jason Candle. It doesn't feel like that's still going to happen. I think at one point it seemed like it was going to happen, but maybe he's going to stay at Toledo now. And, who's it going to be? I have no clue. And, Ryan Day said yesterday, when I got something to report, I'll let you know. So he said, we're still looking at everything. That was what he told us yesterday. So we'll take the man at his word.
Yeah, it's very important they nail this hire. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's at least a 9 on the importance scale. You could say it's maybe a 10 because they need to make Ryan Day he needs to make himself more of a CEO. And have an offensive coordinator up there in that press box, a sterile environment where you see the field better. You don't have all the distractions. I think they are going to – I was like in I'll believe it when I see it mode, you know, because maybe I should stick with that because I haven't seen it yet. Because as we know, calling offensive plays is Ryan Day's baby. That's what he's known for. I'm like, is he really going to give that up? It's kind of like when Hartline was moved to offensive coordinator. People are like, well, Hartline's going to call plays now, right? I'm like, probably not. And he didn't. But it sounds like Day had an epiphany of some sort that maybe I need to be a CEO. I got too much on my plate. So Now, my number one target would be Joe Brady. I know a lot of people feel the same way. I feel that's unrealistic. I don't think that's going to happen. Joe Brady is an offensive coordinator with the Bills, and I'm sure he's going to, as soon as he took over, they fired our old friend Ken Dorsey from the 2002 national championship game. The Bills looked like they were like headed for like missing the playoffs. They get rid of Dorsey. They hire Brady midseason, and boom, Bills take off. What happened with LSU? Burrow's first year, offense wasn't good. They had an old school offensive coordinator. They bring Joe Brady in, boom, boom, boom. I would love Joe Brady. It ain't happening. He's not going to leave the Bills. They're going to take care of him. He doesn't want to. If he's going to make a lot of money as an offensive coordinator in the NFL, he's not going to come to college and have to deal with recruiting and all that stuff and NIL and all that. So I don't think Joe Brady is legit. There's a lot of smoke out there about Bill O'Brien. Okay. Now, I know the one person on Twitter that's really being outspoken about this is the same person that said Pat Chun was going to be hired as AD. So take it with a whole container of salt. But I don't know, man. I don't know what I think about that. Bill O'Brien checks a lot of the boxes that I wanted. But, like, knowing it's Bill O'Brien, that doesn't check any box. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, the NF guy with, like, he was a head coach in the NFL, head coach at Penn State, offensive coordinator in the NFL, offensive coordinator at Alabama. But it's Bill O'Brien. I don't know. Maybe it'd be a good hire. You know, we'll see. That surprised me. If that happens, it was a little bit of a surprise that that would be Day's guy. I was more in the Jason Candle camp. Again, I wanted Joe Brady, but I never thought that was legit because like the Bills are going to take care of him. So we'll see. Maybe it is going to be Bill O'Brien. There's some smoke out there. We could find out as early as tomorrow. We shall see.
Yeah. I hesitate to say it will come as early as tomorrow, but it depends on how Ohio State is going to create an opening here, whether they're going to use the opening vacated by Parker Fleming. There's also talk about adding a defensive coach to the staff instead of adding a special teams coordinator. We have talked in the past about Corey Dennis. His contract is up as of January 31st. So do you wait until that happens? I know Ryan Day in the past has wanted coaches to be able to, you know, start their path on their next job as they head out the door at Ohio State. So a lot of moving parts there. The one thing I think too that I've been told is that guys that may or may not be great recruiters are not seen as a deal breaker for this because they believe that there are enough really good to great recruiters on this staff, including Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, that can kind of compensate for that. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So if you see a guy and you're like, well, can he recruit or does he want to recruit? I think that you may not worry about that as much as you might have elsewhere. Sticking with potential new additions, the Alabama transfer portal window is open. And I know they talked on the Bucknuts Morning 5 at length this morning about Caleb Downs and Proctor, the offensive lineman. We don't need to rehash everything that was said on there. Bill Kerlick and Mark Porter touched on a lot of it, but I want to ask you two guys, if you're looking at a potential very talented safety who could step in and fill Josh Proctor's role right away, and then you don't have any issues in your secondary, or a guy who can step in and probably play right away at left tackle, which is the priority for you? Dave, you go first.
Definitely left tackle. And yeah. Caleb Downs is fantastic, but I mean, come on, we're talking about a left tackle versus a safety? I mean, what's more valuable? And we know just from the going rate, what we hear from all of our sources, the going rate for offensive linemen is through the roof. And maybe it's not quite – if you're a great quarterback, you're number one. And then offensive line's number two, okay? And not great quarterback is that – good quarterback's probably below offensive line. If you're a great offensive lineman or a Jonah Jackson-type offensive lineman, you're very coveted in the portal. Jonah Jackson would have got paid nicely if the NIL was happening when he was transferring. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be very interesting. But I would take – I want them both, obviously, but give me Proctor over Downs. I almost can't believe I'm saying that because I love Caleb Downs. He's going to be a stud in the NFL for years after he's done in college. But bringing in – and then that would allow them to move Simmons to right tackle if they wanted to, move Fryer inside, or maybe Fryer would lose the job to somebody else. Maybe the kid from Alabama who's already transferred in, McLaughlin. Everybody assumes he's going to be center. Maybe they'd move him to right guard, take over from Matt Jones, and put Hinsman at center. I don't know what they're thinking. Probably McLaughlin's going to play center. Bill Kerlick said he's coming here as a center. So Bill's hearing that from very good sources. So I'm assuming McLaughlin's going to be a center. But, yeah, I want them both. But give me – if I had to pick one of the two, give me Proctor over Downs.
Steve, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean – you know, you think about it, they can't go into 2024 with the same alignment on the offensive line. It's just not going to work. They got to get better players and either develop them with Montgomery, Tosh Bola, whoever, maybe shove Fryer inside, whatever. I don't know, but got to come up with a better alignment, I think, on the offensive line than what we saw in 23. I think to trot the same guys out there in 24 and expect different situation, then, you know, I think that's a little foolish. So I guess the Twitter machine is working overtime that it's going to be Bill O'Brien maybe announced tomorrow, but I guess we'll see. I don't know. I'm not sure if anybody reputable is reporting this or not, but that's maybe where things could be headed.
Bill O'Brien is not a name I've heard at all. So unless there's something new happening there, we'll see on that. And real quick on Downs and Proctor, and this is probably not news to anyone listening to this podcast, but Ohio State is probably at least second right now in terms of odds of landing either guy. Downs likely going to end up at Georgia, most people think, where he's from. His position coach from Alabama is now on the Georgia staff. And then Proctor was originally committed to Iowa, flipped his commitment to Alabama. And I guess during the season last year, there was even talk about him being homesick and wanting to transfer to Iowa. So I think you can read the tea leaves there. That does not mean that it is set in stone. Ohio State, I think it was reported earlier today by Bill Kerlick and others that Ohio State was visiting Downs in Florida. So they're going to do their work to try and land one, if not both of these guys. Probably doesn't hurt to have a current Alabama offensive line or a former offensive lineman currently on your roster, as Dave mentioned, Seth McLaughlin. Hopefully those two have a good relationship with that guy. But I would, as I said, when a friend texted me about this yesterday, I would not get your hopes up on Downs. And I feel the same way about Proctor. If I'm wrong, then I think everyone will be happy. Right. So that's kind of my read on the situation. As we look at what's happened already this offseason, and there's been a lot, so, you know, take time to think about this if you need, but is there one thing that has been the most impressive thing that Ohio State has done thus far in your minds? And while you guys think of it, I will answer first. I have not been the biggest Will Howard fan. I think that while he is certainly an upgrade on what they did, or what they had, given his experience, you know, watching film of him. But as I've thought about it more and more, I think that you have hit a home run, a potential home run here with that. And obviously a quarterback position so crucial. Maybe Devin Brown would have gone out and won the job and been great next year. But I think Will Howard can, A, be a mentor to him. I think he can come in and put up even better numbers than he has with better receivers, hopefully a better offensive line than he had at Kansas State. So to me, that getting a guy like that, that a number of schools were interested in, I think has been something that may be the most impactful thing on the 2024 Buckeyes. Dave, what about you?
Yeah, that's a good one, because you get your QB1. I mean, that's without him. I mean, I don't know what they would have done. So that was huge to get Will Howard. I'll just say, maybe this is cheating, but like I said earlier, the biggest thing so far is getting all the guys to come back that came back.
That works.
You know, it says a lot about the culture. I think people are wondering, this talk about brotherhood and all the love and everything. Like, is that real? Like, it shows that that's real. And also, maybe people don't care about that, but I think it's important. But if you don't care about that, you definitely care about having a loaded 2024 roster. They have a loaded 2024 roster. I just can't get over it. Everybody knew Marvin was leaving. And then Mike Hall, I thought there was a chance he would leave. Then we find out, you know, him and his girlfriend, fiance, had a baby. He's done with school. That makes sense. And everybody else came back. It's stunning to me. When I was doing like the projected depth chart, Dan and I did that for Monday's show. I went through. It was fun. I was like, my gosh, they're just stacked for the defensive line.
It was fun.
It goes defensive end, senior JT Tumulawau, senior Jack Sawyer in the starting lineup, and then senior Tyleek Williams and senior Ty Hamilton. And then you get coming off the bench, you got Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry. I'm just getting fired up. Then I get to the secondary. I'm like, You got to be kidding me here. Denzel Burke, Jordan Hancock, Davis Anigbinosun, Lathan Ransom's coming back. They might be able to move Sonny Styles to linebacker, especially if they get Caleb Downs. If not, Malik Hartford's ready to play. They still have Jahad Carter. Getting everybody to come back is insane to me. Mecca Igbuka, I would have lost a lot of money coming into the year. If you would have said, is there any chance that Mecca Igbuka comes back? And I'd be like, no, even if he gets hurt, he will leave just like JSN did. And Mecca's coming back. JT's coming back. And they had to do some NIL. They had to sweeten the NIL pot for JT, although his demands came down a little bit, which was good. His demands, his father's demands, whatever you want to say. Getting all of those guys to come back for another ride, that has been the biggest story of the offseason, in my opinion.
Steve, what about you? What's been the biggest thing that they've done?
Yeah, I agree with both those points. I did a show earlier with Tony Gerdeman, and he's been really good about putting clips of Will Howard on Twitter. He said on their site, Buckeye Huddle, he's going to post a story with a lot of those clips. And he said what got a lot of attention was the clip he posted where he threw three interceptions. And a lot of people were like, whoa, what are we doing here? And I think we have to tap the brakes a little bit and say, yeah, this guy did win the Big 12 championship last year, but he also split time with another quarterback, a younger guy at times. And, you know, is he the answer to all of Ohio State's problems? I don't think we know that yet. Let's see how he does in the spring. I mean, I know that's not going to tell us everything, but at least let's get an up close and personal look at how he's meshing with the Buka and the tight ends and the other receivers. So, yeah, I agree with that's certainly a huge thing. What Dave brought up is a huge thing. In all my years of doing this, you know, and we work for CBS, so I kind of default to CBS's draft prospect grades, which I think are generally pretty good. It wasn't a mock draft, but they had Tui Maloau, Burke, and Igbuka all in the top 30 to 40 overall draft prospects, which means there's a chance if you do really well at the combine, you're going to go in the first round. And, you know, we could say, well, Igbuka's banged up. You know, we could say Tui Maloau really didn't produce. You know, we could say, I don't know what you say about Burke. I don't know what else that guy needs to prove. He's a lockdown corner, but you can always get better. But I think another year with Tim Walton will definitely help him. And so those guys all want to play their way like Olave did 2 years ago into the top 15. That's when shit gets exciting, you know, is when you're making that guaranteed money and that big money, you know, as a starting out in the NFL. So I know the biggest money comes on the second contract, but so both of those things you guys mentioned are huge. Beyond those two, I just like what they've done in the 2025 class on defense. Oh, my God. They got one of the great corners with Devin Sanchez, and they got that kid from Philadelphia, Mathis, a defensive end. They're both national, like, top 60 players. I think Mathis is around 50 and Sanchez is top 10. Sanchez is higher rated than the two guys they just took, who everybody just lost their mind. We got to get Weston Scott. Hey, I got news for you. They just got a guy better than Weston Scott in the following class in Sanchez. And
they're going to get a player in the country.
Going to get another guy better than Weston Scott in that class too, with Dorian Brew possibly. So you want to talk about cornering the market on cornerbacks, and you got Jermaine Matthews, who's going to be a sophomore this coming year. You lay that all out there. You are set at, you know, there's two positions on defense, corner. Well, the two corners and the two defensive ends. You have that, somebody that can get to the quarterback and somebody who can erase the best two receivers on the other team. Good luck throwing the ball, folks. So Ohio State has got the cornerback position pretty well locked down. This year it's amazing, and for years to come, it should be amazing.
Yeah, I think the one question I still have about this
defense. That's mine. I'm going with them two studs on defense in 2025.
There you go.
They got two studs and no one talks about it because there's so much other stuff that's happened. I mean, that's outshined it.
Yeah. No, it's – I mean – as soon as one thing breaks, the next thing breaks. It's been a crazy, 20 or some days since.
I wrote about it on Saturday, that column, that 10 days. Yeah. I did it in chronological order, everything that happened and just how the reaction to it. And I linked all the stories back. And, Yeah, I mean, it was a tremendous run. And like I said, to get three first-round guys potentially to agree to come back, and even if they're not first-round, second-round guys. Let's just say they all went in the second round. And Henderson on top of that, who's got a shelf life as a running back. I mean, very limited. So
Henderson coming back as you bring in the top transfer portal running back. You know, it's not scared of competition there.
They asked me on Canton Radio yesterday, well, is now Judkins going to get back into the portal because they kept Henderson? I was like, no, I think Judkins certainly didn't know Henderson definitely was coming back until it was etched in stone, but he had to know the possibility was there and that Tony Alford probably squared that with him. But, yeah, between those two and Dallin Hayden, you know, free Dallin, as we like to say. I want to see Dallin play a little bit too, but yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much.
That was a happy hour, boys. That was one happy hour.
That was
a lot of great talk.
Yep. Thank you, guys. I know
we didn't ruin it with any basketball talk because that wouldn't be happy talk. That's that's
everybody.
They better get their shit together. Better get their shit together and do a U-turn on the interstate and head the other direction 75 miles per hour as soon as humanly possible. Or there's going to be, I don't know. Somebody said that this guy is going to be more involved, Bjork, at Ohio State after March 1st, and my buddy immediately texted me, good, he'd come to one of the late season games when they're down to 3,000 fans a game. So, they got to get their shit together.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again. I know it's a busy time, so thanks for jumping on. I do appreciate both of you.
All right, man.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yep.
Good stuff, man.
See you later. All right, guys. Thanks to Dave Biddle, Steve Hellwagon for jumping on with me. I figured talking about Bjork from a perspective of the people that were in the room would be a little different than the Bucknuts Morning Five, and I hope we hit on some stuff that you were interested in there when it comes to the Buckeye team early this offseason. I'm going to wrap it up. I thought this was another good show. I thank all of you for tuning in, and we should be back next week. I'm sure there'll be more news to talk about, so we'll talk to you guys next week. This has been another Bucknuts Happy Hour. Thanks again, guys.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.